Welcome to Weem Weekly, produced by 91.7 WEEM. You can find this podcast on our website at 91.7WEEM.org or wherever podcasts are found.
You are listening to the Weem Weekly podcast. My name is Dylan Brown, and I will be interviewing Mr. Webster today to talk about Beta Club and the history academic team. Now, the first question is, why did you want to help with Beta in the first place?
So I went to Pendleton Heights, and I was a part of Beta Club, and I was the captain of the Quiz Bowl team, which was a big part of Beta Club. And I enjoyed my time with it, and we used to go to state and national conventions, and I really enjoyed that. I kind of got into it because it had just kind of restarted when I got back here. It had kind of, you know, fizzled out for a little bit, but I joined back in to kind of help out being a new teacher and wanting to help out with the community. And so I got back into it, and it kind of fell to me after a couple of the sponsors wanted to do other things. But I enjoy seeing a lot of the students that I don't necessarily get to see, and especially some of my older students that after they move out of my sophomore level class, I don't necessarily see that much anymore. So getting to involve myself with them further on in their years, that makes it worth it. And honestly, getting to inspire kids to try to help more in the community is an important part of that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, obviously, over the last 2 years, there's been a lot of COVID going on, and there wasn't even Beta going on last year, I don't believe. What difficulties have you faced due to the coronavirus over the last few years?
So the biggest issue is obviously meeting in person. I can post something on Canvas and say, hey, go do something, and it doesn't necessarily get as much of the response as me standing in front of people. And we didn't have officer elections, and we've kind of stopped kind of community outreach. We've done a little bit, but we're just, and the biggest issue was normally the after school stuff, because a lot of people were going home right after school, and that was kind of the policy, and wanting to make sure that we didn't spend too much time here after or before school, just, you know, working ourselves back into that. But it's been a little better this year, but we're still being cautious and trying to meet in places like the cafeteria that have a big enough space to spread out, and I'm loud enough that we can, you know, meet and hear everything in there.
Yeah. You've mentioned how you've put in a lot of work, obviously, to keep the Beta program going. How important do you think it is for our school to have a Beta program?
It's one thing that the school can mention that is sort of outside the realm of here's what the state requires and here's some things. It's something that the community can have that's different from other schools around us, that it's more of a Southern Indiana thing. And it's something that allows for students that might not necessarily have the grades for National Honor Society to be able to put on their educational resume. And it also gives them an opportunity for service hours and doing community service that could look good on college applications. And it's something that, you know, shows that the school is working to create an environment where students can have things that allow them to, or at least give them a start on learning how to help in the community.
Yeah. Now, what are some of the requirements that you put on the kids that are in Beta? Like, what would the average meeting look like?
Normally the meetings are just kind of a catch up of here's what we've decided on, what our service projects are going to be. And, the requirements to get in, it's a 9.5 GPA overall. And, really most students don't have much of a problem maintaining that. And then the service hours, 10 service hours, usually a semester, sometimes a year. Last year, we were a little less on that because there weren't as many opportunities to go out in the community. And, you know, fewer sporting events to do service projects at and stuff. So that was, you know, limiting those hours. But normally it's a here's where we're at. Though in the last couple of years, Mrs. Walls and I, the other sponsor, have tried to put more of it online, more of it on Canvas. So there's more accountability of they know what they've done. They know what's required of them. And so the meetings are usually kind of a here's the general idea on their attendance slip. They usually have a question of, do you want to do this, this, or this? And so that's just kind of reminding each other that they exist.
Yeah. You mentioned Mrs. Walls being the co-sponsor. Do you find it easier to be a part of Beta when you have another co-sponsor to help?
Most definitely. Both of us have bad days. Both of us have times where one of us is taking on more of the burdens than the other. And sometimes one of us is just really excited to do stuff, and so we take on more of it, and the other one just kind of takes a backseat, and then vice versa. She usually does more of the online stuff, and I try to do more of the interaction with the students. And at the meeting, since I'm significantly louder, I'm usually the one that's, you know, saying all the stuff and trying to express myself that way. But it's a lot easier having two people.
Yeah, for sure. Do you ever experience problems with students maintaining their grades and keeping up with their responsibilities in the club?
Grades, not so much. Most of the ones that sign up for it are above that 9.5 and usually are able to maintain that through the years. And even if they don't necessarily, there's a 1 year probation that they have another year to bring their grades back up. And seeing as it's a 3 year program, we don't have that many that drop off, because usually between sophomore and senior year, they're able to bring their grades back up. Service hours is kind of a different story, just because over the last couple of years, it's been a little harder to convince, you know, them to go out and do stuff. And we've been trying to do service projects to cover some of that stuff. But the last couple of years, it's kind of been a, you know, throw our hands up. We're not really sure what's safe to do and what's not safe to do. So we've just kind of been pushing people through, and our requirements have been a little loose. It's not a national requirement. It's more of a school requirement. So we can be a little more lax if we need to be.
Yeah. And then my last question for the beta portion of our interview will be, do you find dealing with high schoolers easy or difficult, and why?
I mean, it depends on the high schooler, but it's been more difficult to convince high schoolers to do community service. Just either they're too busy, so you've got kind of two realms. There's some that are in every single club and in sports, and they're just really busy all the time. And then others that don't really have too much motivation to do some of those things. And unless we're actively saying, hey, go do this, it's difficult for them to find the motivation to go find things out on their own. So this year, seeing as it's a little bit more relaxed on that, I think I'm going to try to find more opportunities and just say, hey, I need this many students to go do this. And normally when you say that, you get some volunteers. But if you say, hey, you need 10 hours, just bring them to me, they're not necessarily motivated to go out and find them on their own.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to switch gears now and move on to the academic team questions. Why did you want to help out with the academic team in the first place?
Well, once again, I was on the academic team when I went to Pendleton. And those years were, I had a lot of fun, and it's a lot of work, but it's one of my passions to just learn about history. And, you know, it's reading something that you're not going to get in the classrooms. And normally the education's more at a college level. So the actual book that we have this year is a college textbook on the history of Canada. And so I know almost nothing about the history of Canada. I know our interactions, maybe some of the colonial stuff, but outside of that, I have very little knowledge on it. And that's what, inspires me, because I don't know and I want to. But I took it over. My mother was actually the coach for a number of years. And so the last couple of years before she retired, I kind of sat in and helped out with that. And honestly, it's really nice to sit in a room with a few students that are as passionate and are that sort of higher level and want to read and want to study, and just having interesting conversations.
Yeah, definitely. How important do you think it is for an academic team to represent our school?
Between the academic team and the Quiz Bowl team. So 1 year when I was in high school, we were the only team in the entire school to beat Hamilton Southeastern. And they actually put an announcement over the loudspeakers telling the entire school that we were the only team in the entire school to beat Hamilton Southeastern. So I think that's good. It's just kind of if you find the right group of students, you can really, you know, push things. It's not sort of where kids go from one school for football or one for this. It's you have a group of kids that are really passionate about it. And since it's a smaller group, you can really kind of change up from year to year who does well. So it means that, you know, you can kind of pass that torch of success between schools, and I think that's good.
Yep. How many people are currently part of the team?
So I have three students currently on my team, and I'm looking for one more. But we don't have to have four, which is kind of nice to have a backup just in case. But I have three students ranging from one freshman to a couple of seniors. And actually, one junior, one senior. And we're looking to probably expand if we can, but not necessarily. We're starting a little early because with the social studies academic team, we have a big textbook that we have to read, and the competitions aren't going to be until later on in the spring, but it's going to be a lot of work between, and I'll probably do some of the work on my own and just kind of give them notes from my readings, but it's going to be a lot of work for them.
Yeah. Do you find it difficult to get people to join the team?
Last year, yes, but last year was chaotic. This year has its own kind of chaos, but a different kind of chaos. Last year, I just wasn't sure what was safe, and I was able to put together a team, but it was a senior group of guys that just kind of wanted to hang out with me and didn't necessarily want to put forth the effort in the studying, and so we didn't do too well, but they enjoyed the experience. We just didn't do overly well just because the book was really hard last year, and this year's is probably a little bit easier, but just stuff that we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does the average meeting look like?
Sitting at our desks with textbooks out and typing notes on Google Docs. And there are practice questions that are brought up and practice questions that I can get from online that allow us to test our knowledge and go over a lot of names, a lot of dates, things that basically break it up by chapter. So each one presents their chapter, and then we write down important information so that we have a basic knowledge between all of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the most challenging part, you would say, of the academic team?
The time. It's a 600-page textbook, and the person who writes the questions is very passionate, but he tends to focus on little things that he finds very interesting. And so you might have three or four questions on just one little paragraph from one little page out of a 600-page book. And if you don't happen to focus on that one little thing, then you can miss a few questions just based on not knowing which little thing he's going to find interest in. Like last year, there was some small part about a little hotel in Tennessee that had a couple of people that were working on women's voting rights that he just happened to focus on liking that little hotel. And so people that, you know, there were 100 different people that you could have known from the book, and he happened to focus on that one little spot.
Now, this will be my final question. Do you find it juggling time between being a co-sponsor of Beta Club academic team and being an AP teacher to be difficult?
Honestly, with my use of technology, that makes it a little easier with scheduling and setting things on Canvas and not having to run around and get a hold of people, basically having a central hub of, I'm going to post an announcement. You need to check for these announcements. If you have any questions, send me an email. So I regularly check email and I check the Canvas pages. And as far as the AP goes, it's as much work as I want to make it. And We're getting closer to finals, so they're going to be seeing that is a big challenge. And that's one thing that for my academic team, as well as my other students, that they're going to see this year for the first time for a while, that there's going to be a little work in the next few weeks. But it's not that difficult if I'm passionate about it. And so as long as I'm able to kind of separate other stresses from that, it honestly can make my day better sometimes, and sometimes it makes it worse. But you know, being a teacher, you got to take the good and you got to focus on the good.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I have. Thank you very much for being on here today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
The Arabian Staple is your place for Pendleton Heights apparel, from shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and more. Find everything you need to show you're an Arabian fan by logging on to www.arabianstable.com. You can also find the link on the high school's website at phhs.smcsc.com or on Weem's website, 917weem.org. Arabians get their gear at the Arabian Stable. Get yours today at www.arabianstable.com. That's www.arabianstable.com.
Do you have an event you'd like to promote? Make sure to go to 917weem.org and click on the Weem Community Calendar. There you'll find the calendar and a link to the form you will need to fill out to have your event show up on the calendar and get a live mention from the Weem staff. Again, everything you need to get the word out on your event is at the Weem Community Calendar. Details online at 917weem.org. On 917 WEEM, this is Weem Weekly, and I'm Connor Slee, and I'll be interviewing Miss Brown about the theater department this year. Go ahead and say hello.
Hi, it's good to be here and joining you.
Awesome, thank you. So, how do you feel this year's going compared to, like, previous theater years?
Oh, my. I couldn't be happier because we just haven't done anything for the public since really the fall of 2019, and that takes a lot of people out of the loop. And so to be able to let the kids participate as well as audiences to see what we can do, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, this is the first year with the return of audiences?
Yes. Last year was totally with us online, no audiences, and streaming. And we were closed down in February of 2020, so that spring show got canceled. So literally the last show we did was Elf, and that's been a while ago.
Oh, at this point, yeah. And so the first returning show was Puffs. How did you feel that went?
Oh, I was pleased with that. It was strange having a live audience again, and I think the kids thought so too. The play was strange, very Harry Potter-esque, but audiences seemed, the Potter people got it, and the other people went, well, I enjoyed it. I didn't totally understand it, but I enjoyed it, so that's great.
Yeah, that was a great comedy. Lots of laughs.
It was.
And then we just finished up All Together Now.
We did. That was a wonderful opportunity that we were given by Music Theater International. They're the main licensing agent for all of the production rights to musicals. And they gave us the rights to those musicals without paying for that music or the right to perform that music, which typically can run you $2,000 to $3,000 for a show. So that was a huge gift from them to allow us to do that. So it helped us kind of recoup some of our losses.
Perfect. So we only had to do like sets and costumes?
Correct. And because these were quote-unquote, the greatest hits of Broadway, we had done a number of those shows, so we still had some of the costumes in storage. A few we had to kind of reinvigorate. They had been too long in a tub, but they just, it wasn't too bad in that regard. But we estimated we probably had 300-plus costumes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then the tech kids built the sets that we used, and most of that was all recycled lumber because the price of lumber right now is very high. So everything we used was pretty much as best we could recycled.
That's awesome.
Right.
And I definitely walked down that hallway, and it did not seem like 300 costumes, but then on stage it definitely
did. It definitely does, yes.
So how did you feel about trying out this less traditional style of show?
Well, it's one I've always wanted to do. I just always thought it would be an audience pleaser, which I think it was. But the issue is, again, the rights.
Yeah.
Even if you say, I would like the rights to perform one song, that can run you $500 to $1,000 per song.
Wow.
If they separate them. And some shows won't let you take them out of context at all. So for those composers and lyricists and MTI and all to give us that permission was unbelievable. Because like I said, I've always wanted to do that type of show.
Yeah. And are there like any other style, like less traditional styles you've been
you'd want to try out in the future?
I'm really a traditionalist. I'm old school, you know. When you're older, you tend to be a little that way. But I'm much more of the classic musical theater style. Now, having said that, I do some of the newer things, but I like them to have a storyline, and I like them to engage the audience. And some of the newer ones, I don't think they may grab the younger audience, but maybe not the older shows like Hamilton, where it's a lot of rap or whatever. But I'm just more a traditionalist, I think.
Yeah, that'd definitely be very difficult to do, teaching all the lyrics.
Exactly.
And then getting students to rap that would be
right.
Very difficult. So back to All Together Now. We got a full house on Friday, right?
We had a full house Friday and pretty close on Sunday. Saturday, I think we got impacted a little by Christmas in Pendleton. People had a pretty full day and probably went on home. It was still clear back through the main floor, so can't argue with that at all.
Yeah, and even if there weren't more people, it's probably because they were just too cold. It was freezing Saturday.
Exactly.
And then still going with All Together Now, what was your favorite of the showstoppers?
Oh, my gosh. You know, they all were something special in their own way. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say, I like that one better than another one. I will say that I am always impacted by 9/11. Mm-hmm. Every time I go to New York, we usually visit the 9/11 Museum. And to be able to perform a song from that show, Come From Away, that focuses on what happened after, just that it made me proud that we could focus on that and how many people were touched by that tragedy, not in New York. And so for us to be able to highlight that, I thought was special, and not just we're singing and dancing and isn't this fun, but to have a little bit of social commentary in there, I think's a good thing.
For sure. I agree. It was a great song. And then, so now that this is wrapped up, the All Together Now is over, what will the theater department be doing for the rest of the year?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as a matter of fact, today we'll be cleaning up. This is Monday. We'll be cleaning up. Tomorrow we have kids coming in to serve as crew for the band awards, for the Marching Band Awards. Then we'll flip the auditorium again for Thursday's percussion recital. And then Saturday morning, we have all of East Elementary Drama coming for rehearsal for their Wizard of Oz performance. So just being the technical support for so many events, it keeps us busy. But then in January, we will be auditioning and signing up crews for our spring show, which will be Mamma Mia. And I think it will be a huge, not only student-excited kind of performance, but I think parents and community will remember that music and want to come see it.
Yes, it is definitely a buzz around all the students who are paying attention. And hopefully it'll be another show that goes without masks, which I'm looking forward to.
We are guided by the school policy at the time. So
yes.
As that mandate goes down or as the school board changes that, we go with whatever the school situation is at that time. So it does seem to be improving in general and in the world. So
yeah.
Keep our fingers crossed that keeps improving and we'll be able to do it again without masks.
Yeah, of course. No going against protocol, but All Together Now was a great show to be able to sing and dance without masks.
It is. I mean, even with the clear mask that we did with Puffs, the audience, I think the audience forgets them after a while, but the actor is somewhat impacted by those, I think. So it's nice to be able to just perform as a person.
Yes, and I definitely think with all the dancing that had to be done and people had...
They might have had some breathing spasms or something.
Just a pause in the song to take a big breath.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's it on questions other than about Mamma Mia in the spring. I was going to ask if anybody listening would be interested, where could they find information?
Everything about our program can be found on PendletonPlayers.com. And I would say check mid-December. We will have information on what kinds of material they'll need to audition with. The sign-ups for auditions will also be available probably mid-December on that website. They usually take place the first week of January, that first week we return to school. So kids kind of have to practice over the break and get ready. And then usually about 2 weeks after that, we open up the crew signups for Mamma Mia. So through the mid to late December is when they ought to be checking. We also have a website, phhsperformingarts.com, that will tell you events in the auditorium in addition to Pendleton Players. So the band and choir events are all posted on that website as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit surprised that auditions are happening so fast, but we will definitely need it.
Exactly. It's a big show, and it will take a while to get it ready.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming. This was the Ween Weekly episode. I'm Connor Slee, and that was Miss Brown.
This is the Ween Weekly. I'm Parker Dean, and I'm sitting down with Alana Townsend. So, what is your involvement around FFA? That's our topic for today, involvement in FFA or just FFA overall.
I've been in FFA for about 4 years now. I'm currently a vice president. I do almost everything. I've done horse judging, district contest, and I've competed in some contests with some science. We've done food demonstrations. I did that with our last previous senior, Mackenzie Tabor. We did, rock candy, and then we've done a few other ones. I did a little bit of livestock, and then just decided to stick with horse judging. Do fundraisers, everything else.
Yeah, so I'm in FFA too, so it'd be a good interview for us. So, like, what's your favorite part about?
My favorite part is honestly being able to go to national convention and getting to meet the other people around you that are interested in the same topic.
Yeah,
that's being true. Able to see all those people.
So, with the listeners that we have, can you describe what national convention is?
National convention is where all the agriculture, you have like colleges, like agriculture colleges, and you have Case and you have John Deere, and they just get together and they put on like a big sponsorship for you, and it's where you can just walk around and they'll give you information about who they are and what they do, and it's just really cool being able to learn more.
Yeah, because as we went, what was the days of the week, how long was that ago? That
two weeks.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago that we ventured off.
Wednesday,
we were there
Thursday,
for like
Friday.
Yep, for 3 days, and so it was interesting for our conversation. You got to meet new people as always. But so, like, what's your favorite like thing to participate, like livestock judging wise or horse judging? Or
it would honestly be horse judging, just because I'm able to test what I'm doing and I'm able to test how far I can go, and I can see myself learning more and more and being able to do more and more as it goes.
Yeah, it's like I haven't done livestock since I think freshman year, because I didn't do it last year because I had bowling. But it was interesting to see like the judging animals wise and seeing what you're capable of doing while you're judging them at the same time. So the next question I would have was, did you run for like any other officer like past years? Like, what has you been your past year like officer thing?
I did last year. I was just a leadership because due to COVID, we didn't do any running for officers. And then the year before that, I was the activity officer. So I was kind of in charge of, you know, coming up with activities to give us to do or helping with activities to do, just coming up with some little things or even big things that we were able to do. So,
yeah, it was, you know, challenging probably during COVID and all that. So my next question, I'm not really sure how many people, if we could grow, how could we grow? How to promote?
Well, we could. Well, I would love to see more people, just because it is an awesome organization to be in. But we definitely need to get out there, and we need to say, hey, you know, we're in this. This is what we do, and we need to progress that a little further than what we are right now.
Yeah, because this year it was a lot of people.
Yes, we definitely. This year, I think as more of the middle schoolers are coming in, we're getting a lot more. And I definitely think that if we were able to some way, if we could extend it to where the middle schoolers right now could be in it, if we could do that, or even elementary, because I know there are some schools that it doesn't matter what grade you're in, you can be in.
Yeah.
So I definitely think if we could do that, it'd help a lot more.
Yeah, because if we went down like to the middle school, elementary, like sixth grade area, sixth grade could go into junior high, and then for high school they'd be more experienced, they'd be ready for like competitions or understand more, except cramming it in 4 years and hopefully you get it all. So my next like question is, how can we, if people are wanting to join, how could they reach out?
You can reach out. There is a Instagram page, a Facebook page, and a Twitter. Or you can go down to the ag room. Not quite sure what the number is. I think it's 105.
Yeah, the ag hallway straight down.
The ag hallway down. And talk to Holly Williams. She's willing to give you any information.
Yes.
Or come find Parker Dean or somebody and the current officers, and we'd be able to help you.
Yeah, because we're officers. We're both officers here. So if you'd go in there and, you know, if you go in there and be like, hey, I want to join FFA, she'd probably more than likely say, okay. So my next, what is something like you missed about last year that you could have done more?
There was honestly a lot last year that we missed out on just due to COVID. National Convention was online, which was way different than what we normally do. So not being able to have that full-on experience, and we've honestly lost 2 years because of COVID. So that's like when I say extend down lower grades, is because then they, you know, if they miss out on an opportunity, they're not missing half of the 4 years that they get to see those opportunities. So with the last 2 years, we've definitely missed out on National Convention, and there were horse judging and livestock has some troubles trying to go places and judge, and it was difficult, but we managed to get through it.
Yeah. It was interesting, because I knew last year I was thinking about joining livestock again, and then I was like, well, I don't know how that's going to interact. But because they usually go out like during a competition, and they usually go out and like see live animals, but I didn't think they could do that last year, could they? So yeah, it was very interesting to see how it turned out. Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for joining me. This is the Weem Weekly, and I'm Parker Dean, signing out.
That concludes this edition of Weem Weekly. Listen in next time again at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts are found.